Kenobi touched the back of his hand to Alinta's forehead. His gaze turned inward for a moment, and then he shook his head. "I'm sorry," he said again. "Whatever talent I have for healing is insufficient to tend her injuries." "You're not even going to try?" Bail's eyes were stinging, and not just from the smoke. "How can you not try? How can you just..."
"Organa," Alinta whispered. "It's all right."
Her unfocused gaze shifted to Kenobi.
"Left bodysuit pocket. Data crystal. Nav comp coordinates for Zigula."
Kenobi retrieved the data crystal and slipped it into an inside pocket of his tunic.
"Thank you, Alinta. What can you tell me about the planet?"
Bail stared at him. What? What was wrong with the man? The woman was dying, and he was interrogating her? He felt a rush of anger so hot that it cleansed his body of its insignificant discomforts.
"Master Kenobi!"
The Jedi seared him with a look.
"There are questions I must ask, Senator. If Zagula is truly a Sith planet, I need all the information I can get. We can't afford to fly in blind." "Wild space," said Alinta, her voice almost too faint to hear.
Underneath it, that awful bubbling.
"Zagula in wild space."
"What else?" said Kenobi, and pressed his hand to her shoulder, dangerously, wickedly close to shaking her.
"Alinta, what else? How do you know it's a Sith planet? How do you know they're planning to attack the Jedi? What sort of attack are they planning? What should I look for when I get there?"
He leaned closer again.
"Alinta, are the Sith on Zagula?"
Sickened, Bail watched Alinta raise her heavy eyelids.
"No. No Sith,"
she said, her voice ghostly.
"A temple. Artifacts. Plans. Location. On data crystal."
"Plans? Sith plans?" Kenobi demanded. "Do you mean their plans to attack the Jedi?" Alinta's face was drained of all its color now. Beneath the drying blood, her lips were turned blue.
"Yes."
Kenobi pressed the back of his hand against his mouth, fingers clenched, brows pulled low and tight.
"And how do you know all this? Have you been there to this Zagula? Have you seen these things with your own eyes, Alinta?"
"Organa. Bail."
Alinta's pallid skin looked waxen. In the strangest way, as death crept closer, she somehow looked younger.
"I've never lied to you. Trust me, please."
"I do, Alinta," he said, chafing her cold hand. "I trust you. It's all right."
She looked up at him, and as he stared desperately into her face, he saw the lines of pain slowly smooth from around her eyes and mouth.
"Space station," she breathed. "Self-destruct. Protect. Secrets. Promise."
Again, he pressed her hands to his lips.
"Yes,
how?" Her eyelids drifted closed.
"Right. Pocket data crystal. Center comm console. Insert and run."
"I will," he said. "I'll do it, Alinta."
"Alinta?"
But Alinta was gone. Not looking at Kenobi, not trusting what he might say or do, he retrieved the data crystal from her bodysuit's other pocket, pushed himself unsteadily to his feet, and picked his way over to the battered, blaster-scarred centercom console.
"Senator, I'm not sure you should..."
"I didn't ask for your opinion, Master Kenobi," he said coldly. "I just made a promise to a dying woman, and I intend to keep it."
"By all means," said Kenobi behind him. "But first, we should see if it's possible to contact the Jedi Temple from here."
Vierfek. He was right.
So they checked all the consoles until they found the commsat array, which was now a melted slag of wiring and metal, victim of multiple direct blaster hits. Bail glanced at Kenobi. "That would be no, then."
returning back to the center console, which luckily hadn't sustained fatal damage, he located its data crystal slot and slid the self-destruct key halfway in. On three, and then we run. One, two, three. He thrust the crystal home, then waited, just to make sure the console accepted the instruction to destroy Alinta's station. The comm console lit up, the data crystal pulsed red, and urgent fingers closed hard around his arm. "Run or die, Senator," said Kenobi, his eyes glinting. "It's your choice, but choose now." He ran.